As we've been commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, we've been looking at the five solas of the Reformed soteriology in our Confession of Faith the last several weeks. Salvation is by faith alone, sola fide, through grace alone, sola gratia, in Christ alone, soli Christo, for the glory of God alone, soli Deo gloria, and our source of authority is the Word of God in Scripture alone, sola scriptura. We've learned that the Reformers' battle cry of sola scriptura was the formal cause of the Reformation. We have learned how errors like purgatory and indulgences and transubstantiation crept in over the years once the Roman Church held that the church tradition doctrines were a separate source of infallible authority. We also learned how the church kept the scriptures away from the people to be read and interpreted only by its own theologians. The Reformation happened about the time the printing press was invented, and the Reformers, often at the cost of their lives, translated the scriptures into the languages of the people to make the Bible the most widely printed book in the history of the world. We'll now move to the material cause of the Reformation, the doctrine of salvation by faith alone. We know we have an eternal soul. We know that we have a conscience that accuses us. It tells us that we are sinners, that we are in jeopardy of judgment. Nothing is more important then than knowing how I, as a sinner, am to be reconciled to God to avoid his eternal punishment. So the concept of salvation is of key importance to us. The Roman Church, based on its traditions along with the Bible, had pronounced that salvation depended on faith plus works. It held that worshipers were infused with the righteousness of Christ when the sacraments were administered to them by an ordained priest. The worshiper is then to deal with subsequent sin by confessing to a priest and then performing the penance prescribed by the priest to offset that sin. At the time of the Reformation, forgiveness could also be purchased before or after death from the church's treasury of merit. The priests, in effect, became additional mediators between man and God. The protesting Reformers disagreed. They contended, based on the exclusive authority of Scripture, would you put that up, Asher, that salvation or justification is by faith alone, and the Word of God tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. The doctrine of justification by faith alone is the central affirmation of historic evangelism. Though this doctrine is not unique to Reformed theology, there would be no Reformed theology without it. During the Reformation, Martin Luther said, "This is the article on which the church stands, without which it falls. This doctrine is the head and the cornerstone. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the church of God. And without it, the church cannot exist for one hour." The doctrine of justification deals with a deep existential question. How can a sinner, an unjust person, ever withstand the judgment of a holy and just God? As the psalmist puts it, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand?" For an unjust person to stand in the presence of God, that person must be first justified. The Reformation focuses on the question, how is a person justified? Clearly, justification involves a legal judgment by God, a declaration by him that we are just. Then the burning question becomes, on what basis or grounds does God ever declare anyone just? Must we first become inherently just before God will make such a declaration? Or does he declare us just before we ourselves are actually just? The Reformed doctrine of justification is often called forensic justification. And of course, the word forensic refers to legal declarations. Forensic justification means that we are declared righteous by God in a legal sense. The ground of this legal declaration is the imputation of Christ's righteousness to our account. Luther captured the idea of forensic justification with his famous Latin phrase, simul justus et peccator. Could you put that up? at the same time just and sinner. At the same time, Luther did not intend to affirm a contradiction. The two assertions, just and sinner, refer to the same person at the same time, but not in the same relationship. The person considered in himself remains a sinner, yet at the same time, by virtue of the imputation of Christ's righteousness, the person is considered just in the sight of God. We are imputed with Christ's righteousness by faith. And we all know this verse from 2 Corinthians. The Word of God says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Praise God. Father, keep us from the illusion that we may come into your presence on our own merit, or that we need any mediator other than Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.